We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Philip has just lost the respect of the Youth League football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.
Time to get ready for Alabama against Tennessee, and it's time for the other booth as we check in with the opponent broadcaster for today, and that is Bob Kessling, longtime voice of the Tennessee Volunteers. And Bob, it's great to see you. How's everything going in Knoxville as we get ready for what usually is the third Saturday of October? This year it happens to be the fourth.
Yeah, I'm doing great, Roger. I still have not been able to figure out why the Southeastern Conference cannot figure out how to get this game on the third Saturday in October. I mean, put it there and then build the rest of the schedule around it. But apparently that's too difficult to do. But it's just good that these teams are playing. Looking forward to the game. It's always a special game when Tennessee and Alabama play. And it should be a good one on Saturday.
Do you have any favorite games from this rivalry, either wins for Tennessee or Alabama, that stand out to you the most? You've been able to call a lot of these.
Well, it's probably my favorite game. It's probably not a one I called. Was I was working on the network, spotting for John Ward, but it was back in 1982 when Johnny Majors and Tennessee knocked off Alabama, his first win over Alabama, Tennessee, and beat Bear Bryant at Neyland Stadium. And, of course, they threw all kinds of stuff in the river, tore goalposts down. It was a big celebration. But I think the other game that I called was probably the 5-overtime game in Tuscaloosa when Casey Clawson led them to a win. So, wins have not been, they've been few and far between in this series recently, but those are two games that really stand out.
Well, now in 2021, there's a new head coach of the Tennessee Volunteers, Josh Heupel. What have you made of his first season to this point?
I think he's done a terrific job. When he came in, he had a depleted roster, had 30 some guys leaving the transfer portal, was trying to plug guys in spring practice, went to the transfer portal after spring practice, got some other guys to come in. He's playing with 70 players, and then some of those guys are hurt. So he's probably realistically healthy players down to about 60. But what he did, Roger, he came in from day one and just talked about confidence. And, hey, you're my guys. We're gonna coach as hard as we can. You're going to play hard. We're going to play disciplined. We're going to play with a lot of poise. And they've done that. And I've never heard him say one negative thing about any of these players. Now, he has said we need to get better in practice. We need to do some things better. But he's never signaled out any one guy or said, well, that guy didn't do this or didn't do that. It's all about we've got to get better doing this. So I think that positive attitude and his confidence is rubbed off on this team. And I don't want to say they're playing over their heads, but they're playing as well as they could possibly play.
Well, we've seen the offense put up a lot of points on the scoreboard, specifically the Missouri game. You look at the South Carolina game as well. When this offense is playing at its best, what is it doing?
It's running the football. You look at their stats, the number of first downs they've got at the top of the league, rushing attempts at the top of the league, yards rushing per game right there at the top of the league. I think everybody gets the conception, misconception perhaps, about Josh Heupel that he's like a mad scientist. He wants to throw the ball over the place. That's not true. What he wants to do is he wants to run football, and then when he gets numbers that he likes in the box, he's going to throw it over your head. And that's what he does, and that's what has been so successful for Tennessee so far. You know, look at their rushing numbers and tell me this is a pass-oriented offense. It's not. They want to spread you out. They're going to put two wide receivers basically on the boundary on each side. Then they'll have a slot guy. And so they get your defense spread out. If you go out and cover those guys and the numbers match up, they're going to keep running the ball at you. And that's what they've done. And so if Tennessee is rushing for over 200 yards against Alabama, there's a pretty good chance they're still in the ballgame.
Looking at the quarterback situation for Tennessee, we've seen Hendon Hooker play extremely well at times, as well as Joe Milton. Now, where does the quarterback situation stand kind of midway through the week getting ready for Saturday?
Well, Josh Heupel, of course, plays it very close to the vest like all coaches do right now. I think one indicator he had on Monday when he said this is not a long-term injury that Hendon Hooker had in the game last week against Ole Miss. So that leads you to believe that he's going to be back sooner than later. Whether it's Saturday, we'll just have to wait and see. And it's, and Josh Heupel's not going to tell you until they come out and start warming up on Saturday. So if Hooker is going to play on Saturday, though, I think that gives Tennessee a good chance to stay in the game. He has just played so well. It was interesting. You know, he didn't win the job coming out of fall camp. Joe Milton won the job, and I think he won it fair and square. He looked to be the better quarterback running the system. But it didn't translate to the game field. And then Hendon Hooker gets his chance when Milton gets banged up, and Hooker just took off. And what I think everybody's been impressed with Hendon Hooker is the fact that when he didn't win the starting job, you know, he didn't mope and didn't moan and groan, didn't threaten to go in the transfer portal, none of that. He just started working harder, and that hard work has paid off. There's a confidence this Tennessee team has with Hendon Hooker running the show because he makes good decisions. You know, he's only thrown one interception all season long. He doesn't put the ball in harm's way very often, and if at all. And he's got a very good grasp of this offense. Plus, he's got a good sense on when to run. He's a guy that doesn't want to run a lot, but he's got good feeling for when he should run. And most of the time when he does take off, it's pretty effective, and he gets first downs.
What can you tell us about Tennessee defensively, led by defensive coordinator Tim Banks?
I think this Tennessee defense has far exceeded anybody's expectations. I think everybody starting the season thought, well, the linebacker core is depleted. The defensive line has lost some guys. How are they going to plug guys in? And I think that Rodney Garner, who has come in as the defensive line coach, and Willie Martinez, who's the secondary coach, they have just done an unbelievable job of getting these guys to play. They had veterans in the secondary that had some success in the past, but suddenly Theo Jackson is playing at an all SEC caliber. They have Trayvon Flowers, who has really kind of made everything in the back end really solid. Warren Burrell has played well. And I think the secondary has been one of the strong points of this Tennessee team. And at linebacker, Jeremy Banks, who is a guy that's been around here for a while and has gotten a chance to play but has never really stepped in as a guy that's been a big contributor. Well, that's all changed this year. Banks is playing at a really – they play fast and they play hard and they don't miss tackles and they run to the football. And I think that has been a big part of this team's success. And Matthew Butler in the defensive line has really been a leader. You know, he's come back and could have gone out last year. He's already got his degree, but he came back and wanted to show people that he was better. And the guys that stayed, and to a man, I think a lot of them said they just didn't have much fun last year. They didn't really like what was going on, and they didn't, in fact, at times didn't like to go to practice. Well, that's changed. These guys love to go to practice. They love to work hard. And I think that's why Tennessee is a much better football team this year.
Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
It's interesting now in this age of the transfer portal, you have players going back and forth between different SEC schools. You see Henry To'oto'o go from Tennessee to Alabama. But how about Brandon Turnage, who made the transition from Alabama going to Tennessee? How's he been received in Knoxville?
Well, you know, he hadn't been used very much. And then suddenly, 2 games ago against South Carolina, Theo Jackson can't go. And in fact, that was a game time decision. And so Brandon Turnage, who had never played the star position in his life in a game, gets put in there. And all he does is make 14 tackles and is named the SEC Defensive Player of the Week. So I think that shows you again what this team is all about. Next guy steps up. Next guy plays as hard as he can possibly play. And that's another compliment to Willie Martinez and Tim Banks, the fact that Turnage was able to play. And I just happened to, when the game was over, we went back over to our studio to do the coaches show, and I happened to be walking in with Brandon, and I looked at him and I said, "Brandon, you ever made 14 tackles in a game?" He said, "No, man." I said, "Well, you did a great job today." And he said, "Well, what did you expect? I'm a baller." I said, "Okay." "We need you to ball the rest of the season too." So, but he had a big smile on his face, and I think he was typical of what is going on at Tennessee right now. I think they're all having fun. I think they all knew this was going to be an uphill climb. And I think getting to a bowl game this year was a realistic goal. It's within grasp for this team. And they got a tough sled now coming up with Alabama, and then they got to go to Kentucky and then Georgia. So, I mean, they've got some tough games coming up. But they've got a couple of winnable games later in the year that could get them to 6. And I think that's what's really propelling this team. And if they can knock off one of these teams in the next couple of weeks, that'll just be gravy, I think.
Well, we certainly love the football rivalry between Tennessee and Alabama, but as well as the basketball rivalry that's developed between these schools. You look back at the SEC tournament a year ago, and Bob, once again, these look like two talented teams at Nate Otez here in Tuscaloosa, as well as Rick Barnes in Knoxville. What can you tell us about the Big Orange and the Hardwood coming up?
Well, you know, last year's team was really talented, but didn't really play as a team that well, especially at the end of the season. And so you lose two first-round draft picks, and now you got to plug some guys in. But I think the one thing that was really missing from last year's team was a true point guard. They had a bunch of guys that played the position, but nobody really embraced the position. Well, that's going to change with Kennedy Chandler. He is a true point guard. And five-star recruit, and I think he's going to run the team, and I think you're going to see him distributing the ball. He's a guy that doesn't have to have the ball in his hands a lot or shoot a lot. He wants to get the ball to other guys and let them go. John Fulkerson coming back is a big bonus to this team. Josiah Jordan James coming back is a big bonus. So they've got veteran players coming back, and then they're sprinkling in some of these new guys. So I think it's going to be one of the deepest rosters that Tennessee's ever had. And it's a veteran team. And now with the point guard, I think they're expecting really big things. You know, Tennessee's ranked, 18th in the country. For me, that's a little bit low. But I guess they're basing that on the fact that they're trying to see how some of these young players come along. But it's a very talented basketball team. And if Rick Barnes, which he usually does, puts all the pieces in the right places, this team could really be special.
It's going to be the SEC opener coming up later in December, Alabama against Tennessee in basketball. Of course, we got the football game on Saturday. And Bob, before we let you go, our fans got to see you in Kenny Chesney's film, More Than a Voice, talking about the great SEC broadcasters through the years as Eli Gold, John Forney were featured here at Alabama, John Ward. And of course, you featured for Tennessee. Just what did it mean to you to be part of that documentary and take a look at a lot of your great friends and people you've gotten to work with through the years?
Well, you know, that's one thing. I've been working on the Vol Network, I guess, since 1980 or something like that. You know, started out as John Ward's spotter. And so I've been traveling around this league for a long, long time and have gotten to know most of those guys, or at least, you know, meet them. I got to meet John Forney, got to meet a bunch of the guys that have come before all of us right now. It's a special fraternity. It really is. It's a bunch of guys that kind of, when they get together, they kind of understand what the other guys are going through and the ups and downs of this business and the good things and the bad things that go with it. And so it's kind of, there's a special bond there. And, you know, we haven't done it in a couple of years, but they were doing an annual meeting in Birmingham before the season, basically for us to get together to go over rules and talk with the commissioner. And that was special to get. And I think for the most part, everybody was there, maybe missing one or two each year. But to get all of us in the same room at the same time was really neat. And to get there and talk to each other, we don't get to spend as much time together. You know, but on game day, you get maybe 15 or 20 minutes, but it's still a special time that you kind of swap stories and tell each other and, you know, catch up on your families and all those type of things. So it's a special fraternity. It's always been that way. And I think that when you look at that, and I hadn't seen the whole documentary, but some of those guys were just such characters. And when you go back to Bob Fulton and Larry Munson and on down the line, I mean, they were larger than life. And one of the stories I told in the documentary that they used was, I think this is true, that for Larry Munson, John Ward said he breaks every single broadcasting rule there is out there, but he's the greatest communicator that's ever been on the radio. And I think that has a lot to say with a bunch of those guys that really set the foundation for all of us, because the games weren't on TV. The fans sat there by the radio every single Saturday and lived and died with whatever John Ward or Larry Munson or John Forney, whatever they told them, that was the truth. And they believed it. Kaywood Ledford, all those guys. And that's what develops such a great bond between all of those guys. And, you know, it's different now because so many games are on TV and they don't live and die on everything the radio announcer says. But radio still plays a big part for Tennessee fans and Alabama fans, because they want to hear what their guy has to say. And I think they really, for example, they want to get the Tennessee slant. They want to know what Pat Ryan thinks about things and Tim Priest before him. So I think radio still plays a huge part in college football, but not like you did back in the 50s and the 60s, for sure.
Well, you still do tremendous work for Tennessee on the Vol Network, Bob. Just thank you so much for joining us and giving us a detailed scouting report on the Volunteers. We look forward to Saturday's matchup and hope you have a safe trip to Tuscaloosa. Thank you.
Thanks, Roger. Always good to talk to you. I'll see you Saturday.